Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. Happy Easter to everyone. I mean, Easter season is here, and I'll have some more talk about that a little later on. But Mr. Rye is here, and also spring is here. The tulips are out, and if you want to go north up to Skagit, you can do that. I think the festival will go on the whole month, and I love the beautiful flowers. This is a wonderful time of year. All right, how you doing, Mr. Rye?
All right. My daughter down in L.A. says they wish they were in Seattle where the sun is shining.
Oh, yeah.
It's catastrophic in Southern California, so
yeah,
and they're not ready for any amount of rain. But anyway, so far so good, Reverend Harriet. We're geared up for the 56th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Thursday. We'll be doing the observance at Holgate Street Church of Christ on Martin Luther King Jr. Way South in South Holgate, and we'll have the new pastor of the Mount Zion Baptist Church, Reverend Dr. Paris L. Smith Sr., will be making some remarks. We're going to have it rally style. It won't be like a keynote, but we're going to have our civil rights leaders make a very short charge kind of statements about what we need to do to retain our rights and regain the ones we've lost.
Yeah,
because that's what kind of time of day it is.
What time is the event? What time is
it? It's going to be at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 to 7:30.
Okay. I'll be there. I always come.
Well, that's good. Then we'll have you on the program.
Okay.
To make some remarks and also do the either the benediction or the invocation. Either one.
Okay.
We'll tie them both together. Is it okay with you?
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I don't mind doing that. I'm showing up because I believe in. I'll always believe in what Dr. King gave his life for, and the principles that he stood for, and all the work that he did in his lifetime, and I'll always remember that, and I'll always be present as long as I can to anything.
Well,
that's
as you know,
that.
Reverend Harriet, it was Mount Zion Baptist Church Brotherhood, Reverend McKinney, that was responsible for Dr. King's only visit to Seattle in November 1961. It's been a time. As a matter of fact, Lanisha de Bartleman, when she was at the Northwest African American Museum, they put together an event that brought Martin Luther King III up here for that 60th anniversary. So we're also going to be honoring some of the people who's been working in the vineyards. Carolyn Riley Payne was immediate past president of the NAACP, but she also headed up the NAACP AXO program, the Afro-American Academic, Cultural, and Scientific Olympics for almost 40 years.
Right.
So she really paid her dues. My daughter went through that program as well. And then also Dr. Mike Tooley. He's the executive director of the United Indians of All Tribes. Lika Fernandez is the director of the Office of Minority Women Business Enterprise. She's worked very close with us, and she's been getting some heat in Olympia. But anytime you do the right thing, you always get heat when you help the Black folks.
Yeah.
So, and then Katie Barrow is with A. Philip Randolph. She will be getting the Labor Award. She's done a lot of work in terms of organizing. We emphasize on labor because Dr. King met his death helping Blacks and the garbage workers in Memphis, Tennessee. So
we want to
make sure that the labor folks actually show up because he was something. As a matter of fact, Gabriel Prawl, who was president of A. Philip Randolph and also with the Longshore Union, they made Dr. King an honorary member many, many years ago, I think in 1964. So he does have those labor ties. And then we have there're going to be some songs, Butch Harrison, Chandler Williams, and Josiah, her last name, Duhan, is, and I know I'm killing her name, but she's an outstanding vocalist. It's a young lady that sang at the Martin Luther King holiday event. I think you might have heard her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At Garfield. Yeah, she's a dynamic singer. So we're going to do this. We'll be bringing some food to make sure that people do participate in that festivity as well. And then the other thing, some action things that we need to look at is that we have all these challenges now for affirmative action. We have the owner of Tesla and Meta, Elon Musk, is funding anti-affirmative action, primarily anti-Black kind of things, through Stephen Miller and Stephen Miller, who used to be with the Trump administration, and also Ed Bloom. And Elon Musk is bringing, he's from a white South African, he's bringing apartheid to see, to Washington, to the United States of America. And he's doing it with trying to eliminate opportunities in contracting and education. And now Ed Bloom and Miller is talking about going after the HBCUs. Well, why do you think we have HBCUs?
Because of segregation, because of them.
Exactly.
That's where that's where the fight is going to come out. You know, the revelation is out there about the you know, whether it's all true or not. I mean, what is true is that the Russians before communism took over Russia, you know, they were orthodox and the Byzantine, and it goes all the way back to Ethiopia. So I mean, they're putting the pictures out even more and more now about all this stuff. So it's gonna, you know, there's a great change coming in the world, and I don't care what they try to do, it's not gonna work. Yeah. It's not gonna.
Well,
work.
I'll tell you one thing. I was one of the first people to go to jail protesting at the so-called Honorary South African Consulate. And we fought apartheid in South Africa by getting the U.S. companies to divest. So when I'm appealed to folks who can afford to do it, is please don't buy a Tesla. You are funding your own oppression, because he's taking that money and the government money, because he has electric cars. He's getting billions of dollars from the U.S. government.
He's
using that money to hold Black people down.
Exactly.
So I just want folks to think, you got one already, you got it. I believe in saving the environment, but I don't believe in funding my own oppression.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and Elon Musk is, like I said, Stephen Miller. It's really amazing, because both Stephen Miller and Ed Bloom are both Jewish folks. And the thing about it is, you think about World War II, Black soldiers liberated a lot of concentration camps. And, you know, that's one heck of a payback as far as I'm concerned. So, at the same time, we need to not fund our own oppression, and we need not to be supporting individuals and companies that are vehemently opposed to us, and they don't make no bones about it. So I would say, if you have a chance, buy something other than a Tesla.
Well, I think that this is going to really come up to be a test for us, because we've been funding our own oppression here for the last 40 years, ever since affirmative action came in and people had a little bit more money and all of those kinds of things. So it's going to really be a test to people on how free they want to be going forward. And then young youth has not been taught with Black teachers and stuff. So this is probably the weakest time for us in America that we've had since in 161 years is where we are right now. Yeah.
And you know, they're talking about killing DEI, well, and preferential treatment. How can you call 250 years of slavery preferential? You know, in every war, how's that preferential? This sounds to me like you earn your place at the table.
Well, I just think that, like Marcus Garvey said, you had to hit back, you had to clap back. And we didn't clap back hard enough in the last 40 years. And so now they took a page out of our page. We're the people who organized in America ever since we've been here. When affirmative action came in, we stopped organizing. They picked it up when they learned that the birth count was so low that they could never catch up. And that's when abortion became a hot button issue, and that's when they started organizing. And we were not out there. We stopped organizing. And this is why Marcus Garvey said you had to organize for your own self-protection. That's what he said. And now that's what it's coming down to, is that we have to organize in a different way that to get the young people engaged and let them understand, you know, I mean, what's at stake. So I agree with you on all of this stuff that's happening. And
true now.
Yeah, it really is. So why should we have to justify it when we've been here before the Civil War? That's my mantra. You know, I mean, when I meet with European Americans, I say, how long have you been here? When did your ancestors come? We've been here before the Civil War. So either your ancestors might have been planters, that might mean they owned slaves, or they were workers, or they were industrialists, or poor, you know, people in the North. But we've been here. And we have to start with that. You know, we've been here before the Civil War. And that's a long time.
Well, we here before it was the United States of America, as far as that goes.
Well, and that's
you know what I'm saying.
Well, so, that's true. That's true. But people okay. can remember to talk about the Civil War, and we were here before that, and so as we continue to tell our story, and we just got to do it louder now. I mean, really and truly, because one thing about it, we've always been underfinanced, and so one thing I learned too is what I've been studying. I learned that during World War II, the industrialists like Henry Ford and all these people, they supported Hitler. So it's not that. So the industrialists have always supported oppression of other people, and that's the same thing with Elon Musk. He would be an industrialist, and he would be supporting the apartheid against us. See, because that's why 45 have so many rich people, because they have something to protect. And they want to protect. They want to protect the empire, and they might see us as a threat to that empire. I don't know how, but you know.
Well, you know, the United States and Israel both supported us South African apartheid, and now Elon Musk is here, bringing apartheid to the United States of America. We don't need to be buying no Teslas or supporting anything that Elon Musk has, where he's generating revenue to fight against
and maintain oppression against black people. People probably need to start protesting against him at his headquarters, wherever that is. You know, I mean.
Well, you know, they have a dealership on Grady Way. There needs to be some protests out there. Another thing is that they don't use any dealerships. They have, I guess, direct buy. So anyway, we need to try to find a way to crack that and make sure that we get people's attention about people funding their own oppression.
Well, and I agree with that, and I hope we'll be able to get some. You know, we'll talk about that on Thursday, a little bit about that, and then I guess for us in our category where we are on this is that we know how to talk about it, and other people just kind of like they don't want to talk about it or something like that, and we have to continue to talk about it and to put the word out there. And the Black church has to become more of a socially conscious now than they've been in the last 25 years, because they have not been out there helping with this. And I mean, I'm talking collectively across the country. So I mean, they've created mega churches, but they have not created mega people to understand about politics and a movement that's going to keep them free. And that's what I hope the church will do going forward, to be able to talk about this stuff even more so for people. So you want to announce it one more time for Thursday?
The 56th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. will be observed Thursday, April 4th, beginning at 5:00 at Holgate Street Church of Christ, 2600 Holgate and Martin Luther King Jr. Way South. There will be some awards presented for people, some deserving people, and also Reverend Dr. Paris L. Smith, Sr., the new pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church, will be the speaker. He comes to a church that was responsible for bringing Dr. King here. It was his only visit in 1961. So we think that it's a worthwhile event. Get motivated, rejuvenated, stand up for your rights.
That's right. Stand up for your rights. So that was a song out there by Peter Tosh that sung that song about stand up for your rights. And so one thing about it, we were back here again, and the other side is making a lot of traction. They got a lot of people out there, and they got a lot of money. So it's going to take a lot for us to prevail here coming this November, unless something happens. And he's going to be on the ballot in every state. So anyway, it's our time to wake up, and I thank you for helping us wake up, and I hope you had a nice Easter yesterday.
I certainly did. Went to two services, New Beginnings at 8:00 and St. Teresa at 11:00. So
okay. All right. Well, that sounds like you had a full day. Yeah, yeah.
And then also had my first experience with a Good Friday night service at a Catholic church where they actually had a cross in St. Therese. It was a good experience.
Okay. All righty. Well, this sounds good. And I guess the Vatican, I heard that the Vatican has opened up some of the vaults to let some of the black Jesus and the black stuff that they have locked up being able to be seen. I haven't been able to verify that yet. So, but still working on
Like
it.
the late Reverend McKinney used to say, you can't hide out where you stand out. So.
Oh, I like that. All right, Mr. White, thank you for coming on, and I'll see you Thursday over at
Okay.
Holgate at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
All right.
And I'm calling Hayward, so you'll be on the program on
Okay.
Thursday. We
All
look
right.
forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you
Okay.
so much. All right.
Thank
You
you.
listen. Thank you. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back and talk about Easter and some good old songs.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
I'm okay.
You're not okay.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, the Reverend Dr. Harriet Walden. Oh, I just love that song. I came across it this morning. I did a sermon yesterday about Easter, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Easter today. I had a couple of theologians. They just said they couldn't come on today because they had services more than once yesterday, and some of them have services twice a day, twice on Sunday. So. And, anyway, I will have a theologian on later on this month to talk about the revelations of something that the Russians have put out of the vaults of the Byzantine time, and with the all the artifacts are African and African depicting about Black Christ and all of that, and some of the pictures have been there for a long time. Because before the Bolsheviks came to power, the Russians was part of the Russian. They were a Russian Orthodox, a Greek Orthodox, and that Orthodox goes all the way back to the first century there with the Palestine Coptics, the Ethiopian Coptics, and the Egyptian Coptics. So, anyway, that's a whole nother story. I'll get to that piece before the end of the show. But I spoke yesterday about the power of the women, and if the women, it was the women who showed up early on a Sunday morning. I as Reverend Michael said, it would be on a Monday morning because the 3 days would be Monday morning. But anyway, that's how it's been written. And I talked about the power of women, and that it would be no Easter without the women, because we know that the disciples were someplace incognito. They weren't trying to find the Christ. They were hiding somewhere, probably afraid of the soldiers. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and then Mary, the mother of James, and other women who came early with the spices and all the things that they do. And the custom was to go to prepare the body. And that's what they were going to do. And lo and behold, when they got there, they found that the stone had been rolled away. When they looked inside, they didn't see the Christ, Jesus Christ, and so on. And then they turned around, and of course there was an angel there, giving them some more information. And they were quite startled, and it was very reverent because they could see that there was a presence of light that was there, and told them that the Christ was not there, and he was resurrected. Of course, they were faithful. They went and found the disciples, they didn't believe him. And only one went to see for himself, and that was Peter. And then Peter went back to let them know. But again, it's, you know, again, I'm just going to emphasize what women do. And how women has played a significant part in spirituality throughout the world. And because of the patriarchal system, women have been kind of like been discounted. The only time you talk about Mary is at Christmas time and a little bit at Easter time when she was at the cross cry, and when the son was being crucified, and that was trauma. People talk about trauma today. I had to be a lot of trauma then also. And to see what happened there. But I love this story. I mean, I love the fact that this is a time that you can highlight the power of women. And most churches overlook that. I mean, because when the pastors get up, and most of the pastors are male in America, and there's a growing chorus of female pastors. I mean, Dr. Kelly Brown here, and Dr. Linda Smith, and Dr. Laverne Hall, and Dr. Coates, and Bishop Coates. So there's quite a few women in the Seattle area that is preaching the gospel. But most times, women have not always been welcome in the pulpit. And some pulpits, they were denied to be there, like the Cogent, the Church of God in Christ. But I do think that now their rules is a little bit different now. I think they're becoming to honor women more. Because none of this would be going on the planet without women. And you can't keep denying the fact that women has a part in this, that women has a great part in this story. And that's why I love this story, because I said, oh, it'd be no glorious Easter. And the women had to be brave. I mean, it had to be dark, because they said they went early in the morning. So, I mean, early in the morning without any streetlights. they were walking by the light of the stars to go there. And it was before sunrise. And think about that in those days. I don't know how far they traveled, because scripture didn't say that, how far they traveled to be able to get there. But for me, what I love about the story is they left early in the morning. And that's the tradition of what women have done around the world. And women continue to rise and then go early and to take care of the children or take care of who's sick and to do all of these things that they were doing. And also be there with people when they're suffering. Women have been really the compassionate one to be in the midst of suffering. You find women there. You find women. And I'm sure that's what's happening in Gaza and all the other places around the world where women, where children and people are suffering. And so this wonderful story of that he's risen, and that the power of renewal and the power of to be resurrected. And the other part of this great story about all of this is the other part of this great story is that we don't have to stay in the tomb. There's always a way. There's always, we don't ever, I mean, and as one writer I read more than once, I think his name was Joel Goldsmith. And one of the things that Joel Goldsmith says, he was a Christian mystic. One of the things that Joel Goldsmith says is that we'll all be crucified. And that's true. I mean, you know, on some levels or not. And we get to decide how long we're going to stay in the tomb. I mean, we get to decide that because the great demonstration and the power over death, and death comes in many ways, death of relationship, death of a job. There's so many ways that death comes. It's not always moving on from one plane to another existence. It also comes when we have the floods. You know, you have the floods, you have the earthquakes, you have the great calamities with weather. That's a death also. I mean, it comes in the form of losing everything. I mean, lots of people are losing everything they ever had. And then you see them carrying on what they have. And then some of the people without homes, I mean, you know, the death has come to them in a different way. I mean, they're looking for a home, or they're roaming with their belongings and the meager things that they have. And so all of these are ways that, and then you have the physical death, of course. I mean, you're moving from one plane of existence. So as Reverend Michael called it, from life after life, you leave here, and then it's life after life on the other side of the veil. But it's like the transformation comes, and this is a time that the earth is being transformed. I mean, in the northern hemisphere, in the northern hemisphere, winter is over for us. The southern hemisphere is different right now. I mean, the winter is beginning for them. Whenever we have winter, they have summer, and that's the way these hemispheres are. But again, we have the power to be transformed. That's the beauty of life. And that's what this season is about. Because you see the earth being transformed in front of us. It's being transformed in front of us right now. And that's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing to see how the death of winter gives away to the light of to the life of spring, and how spring comes. You look out and you see the beauty of this. That's also the part of the earth is being restored, being resurrected from the death of winter to the life of renewal. And that renewal is available to all of us. And that's what this season is about. It's about renewal. I mean, even if we've gone through a lot of darkness, and it's a lot of people who have, and a lot of things that's going on, but the power to live again, to have a good life again, is still there. It's still available to us. And that's what's good about this. So I'm going to take a break right now and come back and continue this conversation. You listen to Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Calling all moms and caregivers. We have the same awesome show with a new name on KKNW. Tune in Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m. for Beam Stories with Amy Kugler. We'll talk about the challenging and hilarious moments about motherhood that we rarely say out loud. Sharing our stories shows we're not alone. Join us for Beam Stories with Amy Kugler on Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m.
Oh, good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden, and it's my joy to be on air. That song was supposed to be Holding On to God's Unchanging Hand, so it's good. It's like, I mean, that that's what we're doing right now as we continue to talk about Easter. And I'm going to just pivot a little bit about the all this stuff that's out about the Black Jesus, and just have a little conversation about that, and what would that mean for the world, especially for the African diaspora, for people to know that a lot of stuff was hidden, a lot of things that we believe or was taught to about us is not true. So anyway, I'm still trying to get some verification on that. That's why I still have some theologians that's going to be on with me to be able to talk about it. But I thought it for me that I've known this revelation, some of this revelation for a long time, because I've studied the Coptics, actually a lot of it before they came to America, the Ethiopian Coptics. And I think the one thing that most people don't realize is that it was no Middle East 2,000 years ago. It was all Africa and Northeast Africa, but it was no Middle East. And the Suez Canal came around in the 1880s. That's when the Suez Canal was built, and that's when they took Egypt out of Africa. But 2,000 years ago, before all of that happened, the land was the land. The Greeks called it the land of the burnt-faced people. That's what the Greeks called it. And in the pyramids, the ancient people chisel who they look like in stone. It's inside the pyramids. And so we have all this conversation going on about people. But he who gets to see their deity that looks like them or him or she is an empowered people. And outside of the relics and all of the paintings in the Coptic Church, and I have a friend named Reverend David Strong, and he's with the American Coptic Church. And I mean, actually, I should say my former Mr. Salisbury, my former husband, who's in spirit now, who passed away last May, was also in the Coptic Church. And it was the American Coptic Church that absolutely have some of those relics and some of those ancient pictures that they look at when they hold church. So there is a group of people who have seen these, and And understand that. And then there's a group of others who have never seen it, and now it seems to be, it's a controversial. I mean, what's not controversial is that for almost 1,000 years, Russia was Orthodox. They was a part of the Byzantine Empire. I mean, that Byzantine time. And then after the coming to power of the Bolsheviks, which is the Russian, which is the Communist Party, all of the churches was locked up, and so that would be a great depository of verifiable relics there, because they haven't been used in many years. I mean, because when the Russians came, when the Bolsheviks came to power, one of the things that they did do is they killed the Tsar and all of that. And so it was and put a stop, because Karl Marx said that religion was the opium of the people. They didn't believe in religion at all. And so it had not been any religious practice. I guess Putin is letting people have some religious practice. And if this is true that he did open the vault, and it is being seen, and I watched some of the videos, then that would be a game changer for the world, because it would be a game changer for the Western world, and especially for people in the diaspora that got in the diaspora because of slavery. It would be absolutely game changer for those people, and of course it would have to go back to Rome, because Rome actually started slavery for in the 1452, and gave Portugal exclusive rights to bring human beings out. Of Africa, and the church said that we were infidels, and did not have a soul, and we would be in perpetual servitude. And that's the piece that I'm interested in, and that's why I want to get some more dialogue with some other theologians, because perpetual servitude means perpetual suffering. And so the African people throughout the diaspora has suffered the last 500 years. I mean, there has not been no relief for us, even when we became Christians. I mean, and I mean, if you were on before and you heard Mr. Rye, he was giving an overview of what Elon Musk wants to do. They want to go after the HBCs now. So I guess they want to go back to what Henry Barry said. They want to extinguish the light. So when the light of understanding come, the Negro would still be like a beast in the field. But all of this is based on information that was never true. And so that's the exciting part about this, is that that once we can get this information out and get it more disseminated, and people can understand where and how religion has been twisted to make sure that some groups of people be all successful and other groups not be successful. But in the midst of all of that, there's a power in the word of the Christ. There's a power and being redeemed. There's a power of resurrection. And so that's the piece that I think that's the piece that has carried us through all of the suffering and all of the degradation. And I and also the theory, the thesis that I want to expand on in other shows with other theologians and people who are a little bit more learned than me, is that what it means is that when this got to be passed on, because every country in Eastern and Western Europe broke with Rome to get into the slave trade, and so, but that was part of that whole thing, is that we weren't human beings, and that we were made to suffer and bear the burden to serve Europeans, and then when you look at that, you think about that. How would some God? What God would create that? If it was a God of love. It was a God of love. Why would that happen? And so I've always questioned that. I've always questioned that. Well, why is that? Oh, and then growing up, we saw the pictures of a white Jesus on a fan. I never. I was like 18, almost 19 years old before I saw a black angel. It's like, oh, really? So what it does is that means that we've lived a schizophrenic life. We've been, we go to church and we worship a deity that was presented to us, that looks like European, We worship that deity and we believe that you believe in the power of Christ and all of that. But then we get outside and we're being harassed by police, you know, or being we go to the grocery store, you go to a fine store and you're being followed. Because see, with this idea, we are never innocent. You know, we have not had any innocence since we've been in the Western world. I mean, it's like, oh, okay. Because even the little kids in kindergarten are criminalized. So where in our existence has we ever been innocent because of what the Catholic Church did? And then all of the other religions, all the other denominations, because you have to remember that the Catholic Church was the only church, a major church in the Western world for 1,000 years. I mean, the seat of Rome was over in Constantinople. Constantinople, for people who don't know, was ancient Turkey. And the seat of Christendom was there. And then the Constantinople got overran twice by the Ottoman Empire. And then it became Turkey. And then the seat of Christendom moved back to Rome. Okay. And so it's all intertwined. It's like, oh, okay. It's just some of this is not just, you know, it's written in such a way that we, the sons and daughters of Africa, the darker ones, would be in perpetual servitude. And let that sink in. What it means is that we would be in perpetual suffering. That was written in 1452 or 53. By Nicholas V. And then I want you to get that piece, how long ago that was. That was before the Doctrine of Discovery. Some people talk, but no, it was before the Doctrine of Discovery. The Doctrine of Discovery was issued by another pope because Nicholas V had already died. Okay, bless his heart. He had already written that we were infidels and did not have a soul. So just think about what that cloak has been like for Black people around the globe. I've said, because when the colonizers went to Africa with the Bible, they went to tell them that they were inferior and they didn't have a God. And so, I mean, Africa had fallen into some kind of despair and some, over time. I mean, because there were some things going on. And then when they carved up Africa, they carved them up in such a way that the fighting is still going on. But in all of that, we have the power of redemption. And that's what we're talking about right now, that no matter how we have made our way in this world, and against all odds, as Mr. Rye was just talking about not too long ago, let's take a break and come right back and we'll continue. And on the end, we're going to talk about SPOG, the contract, a little bit. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM, KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. I just enjoy being on there.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Hey, it's Kristen Rao Finkbeiner of Breaking Through. I'm so glad you're listening, and I hope you listen to our show. We're on Mondays at 5 a.m. It's a show that tackles the top topics facing our nation and gives you, yes, you, ways to take action, ways to make your voice heard, ways to create change, ways to lift our nation and protect democracy. Again, Mondays at 5 a.m., we have fabulous guests, we have fabulous ideas, and a conversation that you're going to want to join. Talk with you soon.
Saving Great Animals, a Seattle-based dog rescue organization, matches families with dogs that are the best fit. Dogs that come from overcrowded animal control shelters, from abandonment or neglect. The key to Saving Great Animals' success is a trial adoption program, including training and counsel as needed. This way, you know you have the right dog before the adoption is final. Saving Great Animals relies solely on donations, so please visit SavingGreatAnimals.org today.
Alternative Talk 1150, online at 1150kknw.com.
All right, you're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on air, and I just love that song. I mean, these are all kind of like old songs that our ancestors so used to sing because that's what got them through. I mean, the degradation. I mean, and they sometimes was looking forward to moving on to that other plane of existence because they had no joy. I mean, they made the best of what they had, you know, and I'm a living witness that my ancestors prayed me up. They knew that they wouldn't see this better day. They knew they would not be here, but they knew a better day would come. And now we have all this stuff we're talking about, but we're not suffering the way our ancestors did. Now people might want to take us back to that, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, and the songs was about getting strength in the moment and looking for a better day. They saw that better day as making their transition and leaving the body and moving on to, because they knew nothing but suffering. And so again, they knew nothing but suffering. Why? Because the Catholic Church said that we will always be suffering. That's the link. And everybody else said so because the church said it. And that's the piece that we have to come to terms with. Our suffering was not from the Creator. The Creator did not make us to suffer. Man did that. Man did that. We were made in the image of the living God. We were made in that image. And since we were the first people on the planet, Africa was the first, okay? I mean, they've been looking to be able to find a continent that had civilization first. But, you know, Dr. Leakey said the Garden of Eden was there. And so that's verifiable. But through that, we just kind of keep going on, going on, going and going. And now, and that song about peace in the valley, I can remember so many of my ancestors or people who I grew up, I knew my grandmother. They would sing these songs and live that life of not ever having enough and making ends meet. And sometimes when you have enough, it comes to take it away from you. It burn you out. Oh, but again, we keep going. We keep resurrecting ourselves. That's a power. That's a power that in us is to redeem, is to move forward and to get ourselves out of this and to know that there's a bright light somewhere. We might not see the light, but there's a bright light shining. And that was the beauty of Easter. And that beauty is available for every day for us because it's within us. This spiritual power, it's a power, and it's within us. It's infinite, and it goes everywhere we go. It's like, oh, my goodness, it's here. I can't go anywhere without it. And that's the beauty, that no matter what has been tried against us, you know, all these weapons, most of them have failed. Because, yeah, you know, we were all born to die, and that's for sure. We don't know how long we're going to stay. But the thing is to do what you can as long as you can. That's what the task is. You never know. I mean, little Maddie, I mean, the little guy that Oprah used to have on all the time, he didn't stay long, but it was a bright light. And so we are supposed to be that light. In the midst of all of this stuff, I'm talking about this darkness, I'm talking about the light. Oh, I got one more song. I want to take one little break, come back and play that other song, and then I'm going to talk about Spog. But be the light. Be encouraged. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'll be right back. Just a short snippet of this other song.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Alternative Talk 1150, here to uplift your day.
Yes. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. Our show is about over. Remember, you can listen to us on a podcast. I want to talk a little bit, just go into another phase. The Seattle police, there's a contract. I mean, it has not been ratified yet, but it looks like the negotiation might be over between the city and SPARC. And I am taking off my mother's hat right now, putting it on commission's hat. I usually don't do that. But we want to make sure. We want to keep our eye on this. We want to make sure that that constitutional policing has not been bargained away. I mean, because really, we need strong ways to be able to keep to hold the police accountable. We want constitutional policing, and we want some of the recommendations that's in the ordinance that was ratified, was passed by the Seattle City Council here in 2017. It's time to get some action on that. I know before none of this was on the table, but now we should have had some of this should have been on the table for this last negotiation. So we're interested in watching this. I don't know when it's going to be ratified. I do remember that Judge Robot wanted it to come to see about him. He wanted to put his eyes on it before. I don't know if it's after it's ratified. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's probably after the union ratified and to see are they bargaining away constitutional policing. And that's really what we need. We need the ways to be able to hold police accountable. When they misbehave, and the policy is not upheld, and the policy has been violated, that they need to be able to be disciplined. Medical professions, if things continue to go, and the doctor has so many malpractice suits, then that doctor might lose his operating privileges at some of the hospitals because they want to keep their accreditation. And I believe that we should go to having police departments accredited. And because that'll be having the police department's accreditation, what means more if police officers was continuing to violate the rights of other of the citizens and not really, and it's all in policy and it's no policy and it's never outside of policy. Well, evidently the policy is not needs to be updated, officers need to be trained to the policy, because what we've learned over the last 30 years. If the policy is not updated and if the officers is not trained to the policy, there'll be no discipline. None. That's what we really need to be looking at. And then, so I'm sure it's going to be some community meetings like it was in 2017 to alert the community. We need some community pressure, because we have to change the language. They're not community. They're not public servants. They're public employees. When you call them employees, then it gets to be a different feel for you, because that means they work for you. I mean, I'm a public servant. And look at me. I've been serving the public for a generation. I'm a public servant, okay? I don't get paid for the work I do. But they get paid, and they should be called public employees. That's what we should call them. And anybody who gets paid with the public money is a public employee. And we could say they're given a service, but they wouldn't be given that service if they weren't getting paid. They would not be given that service if they weren't getting paid. So I want you to keep your eyes peeled. And when we have a call for the community to show up to look at this contract, and to talk about it, and to organize around it, then we need you to do that, because really it behooves us. We want safe communities. We want constitutional policing, and we want the criminals out there who are harming people to be arrested. I mean, we're not soft on crime. I mean, we're not against police. I mean, at least mothers have not. I've worked consistently at the table for 30 years, over 30 years, trying to get police accountability and a better relationship. So I'm not anti anything. I might be anti spinach, but I'm not really anti. And I even eat spinach from time to time. Listen, you've been listening here to the Mother's Justice Show. I've had a great time today talking about Easter, we will be remembering Dr. King at Holgate Church. Mr. Ryan announced that on Thursday, on the 4th at 5:00 at Holgate. So come over and be part of that. Be part of that energy for Dr. King. He gave his life for us. It's Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on there. See you next week. Check us out on the podcast. Tell your friends about us. All right. Have a great week. Thank you.